RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition. I was going to say first Friday of the new year, and then I'm like, that's stupid.
The furry edition.
The furry edition of the Dark Delight podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. Hey, you know what's happening right now?
What?
Oral arguments in the OSHA case in front of the Supreme Court.
Oh, really?
And then at 11 o'clock, because we record at 10, at 11 o'clock this morning, it's going to be the CMS mandate.
So when do you get decisions on this?
People are speculating whether it's, you know, a couple days or today or Monday or weeks. Who knows? It's supposed to go into effect again on Monday since the judge lifted those stays. But I figured maybe we'll hop in and see what's going on over there. You want to hop in?
Sure. But is this going to give anybody the firepower to now go after individual companies who are still trying to carry water for Joe Biden?
Well, this is the government saying, you know, whether or not the government has the power under OSHA to mandate that people get a medical procedure.
Right. But if they can't, but if they can't use OSHA to twist people's arms, then wouldn't OSHA then be once again a tool people can use to back companies off from making living conditions bad?
Yeah, there's going to be a myriad, I'm sure, of legal cases. And then there's going to be, I'm sure, a myriad of cases where who's going to take responsibility for adverse events, and it's going to become a shit show. But the bottom line would be the government cannot force companies to do it. So any company hiding behind that could say, we personally are imposing a mandate, I suppose. I don't even know if they have the power to do that. So it'd be an interesting experiment.
Okay. Well, I mean, OSHA or no, it's been confirmed in the courts that the injections that are being given to everybody are still emergency use. So, what lawsuits of any significance do you know of are hammering that home in court, saying that you can't mandate experimental drugs?
So, most of the lawsuits that were brought were put on a regular calendar after the temporary injunctions were granted. And if the temporary injunctions weren't granted, then they were also put on a regular calendar. So I don't know of very many new suits that have been brought since these other ones all got decided on the injunction standpoint. Because with the injunction, nobody has to file briefs for anything until the normal court calendar takes over, which is like months, you know, your briefs are due by the middle of February and blah, blah, blah. So we'll see what happens when those start getting filed again. Like Church versus Biden just had a filing, the one where we had Yoder on to talk about that lawsuit. That one, they denied the temporary injunction. So they were supposed to submit their arguments this month or early February, I think. But they filed a joint status report 2 days ago that said that Yoder was submitting an amended complaint today. So he's probably going to add some of what you're talking about here. This was the Navy folks that were, and the military and some other people that were mandated. I'm assuming that a lot of those Navy folks had their exemptions or accommodations denied, and that's why they're now going to amend things. And he'll probably throw a whole bunch of other stuff in there. I've texted him. He's been just too busy to even get back to me. So,
yeah, Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. We had something else really amazing, so upsetting that Mr. Siri was sick on Wednesday, because his lawsuit against the FDA, the FOIA lawsuit, he has a lawsuit against the FDA to force them to provide the safety data on the Pfizer vaccines. That's the one that everybody's talking about all the time. That's this attorney. He's doing that on behalf of ICANN, I believe, which is Del Bigtree's organization that's been fighting this for years and years and years. The judge just ruled yesterday they wanted to wait and like release a pittance every month, that it would take 75 years to get all the stuff out. And they had some asinine reason why, the FDA. Well, the judge just ruled yesterday they must produce 55,000 pages a month. So that's a huge win, because the end of this month, we're going to get 55,000 of the, gosh, something like, I don't know, 800 or 900 or a million pages or whatever it is, to read, and it's going to be prioritized in a certain way because that's what Mr. Siri asked for. Aaron Siri asked for it to be prioritized certain ways. So that's great news, too, because now we're going to get into the data they wanted to hide from us all. Well, they told us we needed to do this. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be pretty.
No, it's not, because what little we got showed a really terrible, terrible loss of life and injury and damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrible. And then like some new information has come out about myocarditis risk after the second shot, the third shot, et cetera. A study was just released this morning that shows like basically your chance of that happening to you as a young male, not so much in women. Men, it basically triples and then multiplies again after the booster. The only age group it doesn't happen in is the over 80 age group, which, let me be honest, I've been thinking about this from a philosophical standpoint more and more, Frank. Like, just because of this, like, I posted this on my Telegram. It was a MedPage, a MedRx article that really bothered me, MedPage. It's this. It's called CDC panel pushes boosters for all teens, right? This is a quote from the article. Boosters, quote, allow us to whack-a-mole for another month or two to try to reduce transmission. ACIP chair Grace Lee of Stanford University School of Medicine in California said that the goal of the vaccine should be trying to prevent infection. We have burdened an entire generation of children with the impact of COVID. We are trying to reduce risk of infection to protect ourselves and others. Then several committee members reiterated that the goal of the vaccine was to prevent hospitalization and death. Sarah Long, blah, 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 who still supported the recommendation, saying it would help us understand over time if there will be any protection against hospitalization and death for those who are otherwise fully vaccinated. So you don't have any idea. You're playing whack-a-mole with our kids. And you're trying, like, there's another line in there that is just so utterly disgusting where they say, we need to protect our older people. And so we're going to boost our kids. Mm-hmm. And yeah. When have we ever sacrificed our young for the 90-year-old?
Never.
What civilization, what species would sacrifice its babies to keep its elders alive?
The ones whose middle-aged lunatics want to be the only one standing.
And I'm just like, can we look at this from like a philosophical standpoint, if nothing else? Like, why are you going to try and take an experiment on kids who are, you know, supposedly going to be the ones to carry on this species so that your selfish ass can stay here? Are you contributing anything? Like,
I know. I mean, there's so much on the nonsensical end of things I just can't handle anymore. It's over. You saw, I'm sure, Kathy Hochul.
Oh, yeah.
From New York. You saw her following Anthony Fauci's lead by Fauci went and said we need, as you covered in I think Monday's show or Wednesday's show, we need to start differentiating between people who come into the hospital with and because COVID and stuff like that.
Yeah.
These are about children hospitalizations.
Yep. I put this on my Telegram as well. I can actually, I think I have the clip handy. We can play it because it's here it is.
I have always wondered, we're looking at the hospitalizations, the people testing positive in a hospital. Is that person in the hospital because of COVID? Or did they show up there and are routinely tested and showing positive and they may have been asymptomatic or even just had the sniffles? Someone is in a car accident. They go to the emergency room. They test positive for COVID while they're there. They're not there being treated for COVID. Now, someone's conditions can worsen while they're in the hospital. I'm not saying that won't happen, but I just been doing a random call around to some of the hospital leaders that I touch base with, and I'm seeing numbers from 20 to sometimes 50%, but we don't have clear data right now that's anecdotal. Beginning tomorrow, we're going to be asking all hospitals to break out for us. How many people are being hospitalized because of COVID symptoms? How many people are happen to be testing positive?
Okay, so there is so much to say about that.
Yeah, 20 to 50%. They think that the swings in statistics would be if they actually started doing what we all said they what was wrong from 2020
from the beginning.
From the beginning. I railed on her about this. two nights ago. And here's the thing. She's obviously following Anthony Fauci's lead because she's not a discerning, smart woman. And then at the same time, she's talking about how, you know, in my private reflection time, I'm wondering about this. Yeah, whatever. Because this is the same woman who a couple of weeks ago mandated masks for everybody in New York State again, even though Dr. Leanna Wen went on CNN and said that all the there's yesterday in New York City in a subway somewhere, Kathy Hochul and Eric Adams and all of the, I guess, like it's this, these have to be New York City executives. They're all around for a press conference. Everybody there are wearing sawdust masks. They're wearing these ridiculous paper masks, the same one that Dr. Wen told everybody on CNN are just face decorations. So she's being discerning about whatever Anthony Fauci says she has to do in order to continue to help move the goalposts. But as far as this goes,
well, it's because every single, like 99% of the people or 90% of the people in New York City are vaccinated and they're all in the hospital. So now they need to make sure that they tell the difference between who's in there for what. And what happens now? These hospitals are probably like, well, we milked that cow for two full years. Just like I talked about in my column that came out before she decided to do this, that they got paid on that. They got paid on that. And they're not going to be able to get paid on it anymore. And I want to know if you're going to go backwards, Kathy Hochul. And as a matter of fact, Frank, I gave you a little hat tip on Joe Pags yesterday and I called her Governor Oopsie.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and he laughed. He said, oh, come on. And I said, Governor Oopsie.
She's an oopsie.
She is an oopsie. No one voted for this lady.
No one voted. She's just like, oh, what happened? I'm governor? Oh, wow.
Let's see what's going on, if anything, because then I got to play a clip from Australia that literally blew my mind. But let's see what's going on in the SCOTUS, if we can.
You understand the thing as well as I. And so I repeat my question. To me, it's unbelievable, but I want to hear what you say. How can it be in the public interest, which is a requirement? How can it be a balance of harms in this case? Assuming the arguments aren't off the wall on the government side, and believe me, they're not. Okay, that's what I want to hear the answer to.
Justice Breyer, states can act, private businesses have acted on historic levels. This is going to cause a massive economic shift in the country. Billions upon billions of non-recoverable costs. Testing also is not frequently available. This is in our appendix at page 374. Among those employers who've attempted to do so, only 28% are able to find adequate providers to ensure that weekly testing is available for the employees. If Congress intended to give an occupational health agency the power to mandate vaccines across the country, it needed to do so clearly. States can do it. Businesses have done it and are able to do it. The question is not what is this country going to do about COVID. It's who gets to decide that.
We can go with justice by justice. Justice Thomas, anything further?
Nothing.
Justice Gorsuch?
I do have a couple of questions, Mr. Keller. First, the government says that the major questions doctrine and federalism canon, for example, don't apply to this court's consideration of this case or any other unless the statute before us is first found to be ambiguous. What's your understanding?
Well, 2 points. If you need to even reach the question of whether there's ambiguity, and we think the term necessary is clear in context, it has to mean indispensable or essential, that would be a term where potentially the government in their interpretation would reach ambiguity. But regardless, the major questions doctrine is also in service of avoiding non-delegation concerns. And the non-delegation concerns that this court recognized in Industrial Union and citing
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that wasn't quite my question. I apologize if I didn't make it clear enough. But the government says that we only consult those doctrines, the federalism canon, the major questions doctrine. I think the court understands what they are, but only consults them after finding a statutory ambiguity. Do you disagree?
I disagree in that the major questions doctrine is also a doctrine that would avoid non-delegation concerns. So even if there were a clear
That's a little technical for me. I don't know what they're talking about, but this is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever really heard a live argument in front of the Supreme Court before, and I should have.
I don't think so either.
We can pop back in later and see what's going on. The guy, the gentleman that was speaking before Gorsuch, I believe, was Clarence Thomas.
Mm-hmm. I know his voice.
Yeah. So let's listen to what's going on in Australia, where they've stripped their citizens of all their ability to fight back. And they're acting like... Did we hear this clip? Did you hear this?
Well, no, I don't know. There's so many clips that come out of Australia now.
I need you to listen to this here.
I will now go through each of these decisions. First, the lockout. The fully vaccinated can continue as they were. For people who are not vaccinated, lockdown rules will apply to everyone 16 and above. If you are not fully vaxxed, stay home.
Wow.
You are at greater risk of catching COVID, becoming ill, and needing hospital care.
Lies.
You may only leave home for three reasons. Medical treatment, including COVID testing or vaccination. For essential goods and services like groceries, power tokens, medications. To provide care and support to a family member or person who cannot support themselves. You cannot travel more than 30 kilometres from your home when leaving for one of the three reasons or the nearest practical destination. If you need to go to the hospital and it's more than 30 kilometres from your home, that's okay. There are only three reasons to leave the home now, not five. Work is not a reason to leave the home for the unvaccinated. The Chief Health Officer has also determined that restriction of movement is critical right now and that 1 hour of exercise for the next 4 days is not essential. Remember, these restrictions only apply to those who are not fully vaccinated.
So if you're not fully vaccinated in Australia, you're not allowed to leave your house, even if you want to exercise outside for an hour. You're not allowed.
It's too dangerous. It's just too dangerous.
You can't be outside for an hour, not even in your backyard, people. Stay inside, all of you. It's essential that you stay inside, you unvaccinated freaks.
I see this. I don't know. I just don't see how this ends well for people like this guy. History has not shown that people like this lead very memorable lives.
Listen, Frank. You're in New York, right? I'm here in South Carolina. If Governor McMaster came to the podium and told me you're not allowed outside of your house, even in your yard, to exercise for an hour, I would tell him to stick it where the sun didn't shine. I would lead a march down the road, all of us, outside, and then tell them to arrest us all and throw us in a jail where we're right next to each other.
But what is public approval like in Australia? Because this is so bad that you would think that if there was a real culture yearning to be free, and I have seen people screaming for help from the Aboriginal tribes to there's been one or two voices in their parliament that have been very courageous, but the state that they're in right now, you would imagine that they would have been well past the breaking point unless this is in some way popular.
I wish I could tell you. I don't know. I don't think, obviously, it is very popular especially not for the people who have chosen to remain unvaccinated. It's insane. That's insane. That's just crazy. And again, the numbers don't bear it out. And they know it. They know the data. They know. And part of me is like, why? Why are they doing this? Is it? What's the real reason? I don't know.
I just don't know.
I don't know either. And we've got tennis players being held captive there, too. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. So what's going on with this? Now, I saw that. Djokovic?
Yeah,
my mom watches tennis, so she knows how to say his name. I don't. But at first I heard that he was getting an exemption. Then I heard he's like under arrest. What's going on?
He did get an exemption. They granted it to him. He went there. And then they revoked his visa when he got there, and now he's in a quarantine hotel. And he's appealing it, and they basically said, you know, your appeal's delayed, and now he's literally holed up in a quarantine hotel as a prisoner in Australia. And they did the same thing to another woman tennis player yesterday. They revoked her visa after she got there, after granting it for her to come to play. So basically, the joke now is that Australians are going to start vacationing to North Korea because that's basically where we're at.
Man.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what's going on in the Supreme Court. I'm very interested in this. Let's see. I posted the link in my... And we're going to talk today, too, about the Tucker Carlson interview with Ted Cruz yesterday.
I heard that Tucker Carlson really, like, came out hard at him.
Say what you want. I know there's a lot of people out there who think that Tucker Carlson is, a bought off, paid off, whatever. This interview, whether he was acting or not, I don't believe he was. He's too genuine in his actions, was really, really good. And we'll play it in a second. I just want to see what's going on with our vaccine mandates.
In the workplace where workers have to wear a mask. So that's no different in my mind than this. So this is not a vaccine mandate.
What?
There are costs and deaths and other things countervailing to the fact that there might be 1-3% of workers who leave.
That's a justice.
Well, and here, vaccines have been.
I don't know, but that was terrifying to hear just now. It's the same as a mask.
No,
it's the same as a mask.
That's not at all. But this, man, scary stuff to hear that come out of a judge,
a very uninformed judge.
I don't know how informed they are, but they definitely do. They are supposed to be like the peak of discernment.
Yeah. Well, let's see what the answer to that is.
I also think there's a textual clue within the OSHA Act, 29 U.S.C. 655.
We forget that there are certain states now that are stopping employers from requiring vaccines. There are certain states stopping employers from requiring masks. Why shouldn't the federal government, which it has already decided in OSHA, Congress has decided to give OSHA the power to regulate workplace safety, have a national rule that will protect workers.
You see, here's where an American, an American who understands the Constitution knows that if Congress passes a law or any kind of act into law that is or bill into law that is unconstitutional, it's not law. So I don't know anywhere in the Constitution where it grants Congress to make these kinds of blanket rules for every business owner and employee in the country. I don't know where that exists. It doesn't. But you just get people who start honoring bad habits as law. And once it's been done, I guess precedent is the new Constitution. If you've done it once, it can be done again. That's the new Constitution now.
Wanted to give an occupational health agency the power to require employees to get certain medical treatment. It's one thing to say.
There's no requirement here. It's not a vaccine mandate.
What?
It's something totally different. And I don't know how much clearer than 651 Congress could have been. It charges OSHA with developing innovative methods, techniques, and approaches to dealing with occupational.
Exactly proves our point that Congress knows how to enact a statute when it wants to give.
It didn't enact a statute.
Oh, Lord, I can't even listen to that. Let's go to Tucker Carlson.
you know how he's voting.
Oh, yeah. He's already made up his mind. He doesn't need any arguments. He knows exactly what he's doing. Holy moly.
And yes, indeed.
Holy moly. OK, so last I want to play this whole thing. 7 minutes long.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
All right.
We played this tape for you last night. We were surprised by it. We prefaced it by saying every conservative appreciates Ted Cruz because he's one of the smartest and most articulate people in the Congress, and he's conservative. But he referred publicly to what happened on January 6th as what a violent terror attack. Here it is.
We are approaching a solemn anniversary this week, and it is an anniversary of a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol, where we saw the men and women of law enforcement demonstrate incredible courage, incredible bravery, risk their lives to defend the men and women who serve in this Capitol. Senator Cruz was game enough to come on tonight. We appreciate that. He joins us now. Senator, thanks so much for coming on. So I guess there are a lot of dumb people in the Congress. You're not one of them. You're smarter than I am. And you never use words carelessly. And yet you called this a terror attack.
when by no definition was it a terror attack. That's a lie. You told that lie on purpose, and I'm wondering why you did.
Well, Tucker, thank you for having me on. When you aired your episode last night, I sent you a text shortly thereafter and said, listen, I'd like to go on because the way I phrased things yesterday, it was sloppy and it was frankly dumb. And
I don't buy that.
Sloppy.
I don't buy that. Look, I've known you a long time since before you went to the Senate. You're a Supreme Court contender. You take words as seriously as any man who's ever served in the Senate. And every word you repeated that phrase, I do not believe that you used that accidentally. I just don't.
So, Tucker, as a result of my sloppy phrasing, it's caused a lot of people to misunderstand what I meant. Let me tell you what I meant to say.
Hold on.
I was referring to...
He's lawyering, okay? He's lawyering, obviously. It's caused people to misunderstand, like it was their fault. They misunderstood. It's caused people to misunderstand. It's their fault. Misunderstanding is placed... The blame is then placed on the shoulders of the person who misunderstood. You see,
he probably would have gotten Ghislaine Maxwell off. Well, you guys are you're misremembering what Ghislaine did to you.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that one, too, because there's a bunch going on in that case. Yeah. But here
are the limited number of people who engaged in violent attacks against police officers. I think you and I both agree that if you assault a police officer, you should go to jail.
OK, that's who first of all, you never talked about police officers being attacked. OK. No, nobody even a thought for a second you were talking about police officers being attacked, even though you mentioned them in your little brief statements. What he's doing here is a very skilled debate technique, Frank, and he's a very good debater. He's won plenty of awards for it. OK, he peppers in something that you and I will both agree with. That's egregious, like beating a police officer. And then he pivots back to trying to explain away the thing he just didn't think he'd face so much pushback for, which was taking on the mainstream narrative of the Democrats and Republicans who don't like this country and hate the people in it, that that was a terrorist attack on the Capitol and that everybody there was some sort of insurrectionist. Sorry.
Was talking about, and the reason the phrasing was sloppy is I have talked dozens, if not hundreds of times. I've drawn a distinction. I wasn't saying that the thousands of peaceful protesters supporting Donald Trump are somehow terrorists. I wasn't saying the millions of patriots across the country supporting President Trump are terrorists. And that's what a lot of people have misunderstood.
Well,
that comment.
Wait a second. But even your way, but hold on. What you just said doesn't make sense. So if somebody assaults a cop, he should be charged and go to jail. I couldn't agree more. We have said that for years. But that person's still not a terrorist. How many people have been charged with terrorism on January 6th? Like, why'd you use that word? You're playing into the other side's characterization that, as Joe Kent just explained, allows them to define an entire population as foreign combatants. And you know that. So why'd you do it?
So Tucker, let me answer you directly. The reason I use that word, for a decade, I have referred to people who violently assault police officers as terrorists. I've done so over and over and over again. If you look at all the assaults we've seen across the country, I've called that terrorism over and over again. That being said, Tucker, I agree with you. It was a mistake to say that yesterday. And the reason is what you just said, which is we've now had a year of Democrats and the media twisted.
Don't be pious, Ted. You know exactly what you did. He's going to now complain about what the media and the Democrats have done for a year. And he just sat there sanctimoniously and did it.
Exactly.
Tucker doesn't let him off the hook.
In words.
Wonderful.
And trying to say that all of us are terrorists, trying to say you're a terrorist, I'm a terrorist. And so, look, I don't like people who assault cops. And I stand up and defend cops and the reason I use that word is that's the word I've always used for people that violently attack cops. But in this context, I get why people were angry, because we've had a year of the corrupt corporate media and Democrats claiming anyone who objected to the election fraud. And by the way, remember what was happening during the protests?
Can I ask, hold on, you work in the Senate? I guess I just don't believe you. And I mean that with respect, because I have such respect for your acuity and your precision. And I've seen it on display. I've covered you as a reporter. I know how you speak. And you have sat there for a year and watched people use language to distort the events of that day. Intentional. Insurrection. Coup. Terrorism.
Insurrection. Saying it's an insurrection is a political term. It's a lie. I've repeatedly denounced it. And when it comes to, look, I was focusing on what I normally say, that What you aired was a little 15-second snippet. What I normally say is violence is wrong, peaceful protest is right. If you engage in violence, you should be prosecuted. If you're speaking, you have a right to speak. I say that all the time.
Well, I didn't say agree. In that snippet. So who's Ray Epps, by the way, since you are a senator? Like, he and this other guy are clearly encouraging the crowd to commit crimes. Neither one has been arrested or charged. What is that, do you think?
So I think that is a very good question. I don't know who Ray Epps is. I've seen that video multiple times. It's disturbing. Right? He's clearly urging the crowd to violate the law. When you see the crowd start chanting, Fed, 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 for him to appear on the FBI's most wanted list and come off, it certainly suggests he was working for the FBI. That's not conclusive, but that's the obvious implication. And the Attorney General and the Department of Justice won't answer the question. Tucker, I can tell you, I joined with a number of other senators trying to get the Biden DOJ to answer the question, why so many January 6 prisoners are in solitary confinement? Why?
No, no, no. You clearly don't care about the prisoners, Ted Cruz.
No.
I mean, come on.
No, because at this point, why are so many? I want to know why they're in solitary. No, you should be demanding they be out. I want details about what's going on in there. It's been a year and there's no charges and nothing that resembles insurrection charges at that.
No, they're all basically misdemeanor.
See, so it must be frustrating for him, who's usually able to talk circles around people and get out of this. But he's there's nowhere to run.
There's more. And he the reason why he came on Tucker isn't because of Tucker. It's not. Tucker just played a clip that was already absolutely viral everywhere. Ted Cruz got so destroyed over this. This is the same tone that people accepted for the most part during the Spygate stuff, when these senators would sit up there and say anybody who conspired with Russia, the Republican side of the aisle that let the Spygate ruse go on under their watch for years, knowing it was complete and utter trash, right?
Right.
The same thing used to fly. Now it doesn't fly anymore. That's the thing that makes me happy, because people are fed up with this BS nonsense. Hey, Frank, this show is brought to you by ExpressVPN.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. We all need a little extra protection these days.
It's for real. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like having a first aid kit, but not keeping it stocked up. You'll probably be fine most of the time, but what if you suddenly get into a horrible accident and there's nothing in your first aid kit to help you stop the bleeding? You need a VPN to be able to watch New York sports when you're not in New York. That's what my husband needs it for.
Oh, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Are we still talking about the internet right now?
Every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes, hotels, airports, any hacker on that same network can gain access to your personal data. And it doesn't take much personal knowledge to hack someone, some cheap hardware and a smart 12-year-old to sell your data on the black market for up to $1,000 a person. Can you believe that? That's what these people are making now. If they sell your username and password to like Netflix or something.
And you certainly don't want DHS to know that you're going to Citizen Free Press for news.
Absolutely not. So why use ExpressVPN? I really like it because it's super easy. And it's funny because my husband was researching which ones of these are the best, because there's a ton of them out here. And he landed on ExpressVPN. And when I told him, oh, that's our show sponsor, he was like, yeah, that's great. So we love it here. There's an encrypted tunnel. It creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so that hackers can't steal your sensitive data. It is super secure. It'd take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. It's easy to use. You just fire it up with one click of a button to get protected, and it works on phones, laptops, tablets, and more, so you can stay secure on the go. Again, I like it most because it is super simple to use, and it's important to me to be able to protect stuff, because as you know, I do go to Citizens Free Press every single day, and if I'm researching who knows what about vaccines, I want to be in Russia while I do it.
No, you got to stay hidden these days. This is a very free country, you know.
Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/dark to light. That's expressvpn.com/dark to light. And you will get an extra 3 months free. That's expressvpn.com/dark to light. Make sure you check them out. Want to hear the end?
Yeah, please.
they're being treated so much worse than the Antifa rioters and the people who committed firebombing and a year of riots across the country. And this Biden DOJ won't go after them.
But let me stay on point,
Tucker. Remember,
stay on point.
While thousands of people were standing up to defend this country on January 6th, at that exact moment, I was standing on the Senate floor objecting to the election results, demanding that we impanel election commission to consider evidence of voter fraud. And I brought together 11 senators to join me in supporting getting to the bottom of that. So
that's true. That's true. He was one of the only ones who was doing that. True. But anyway,
of course, it would be ridiculous for me to be saying that the people standing up and protesting to follow the law were somehow terrorists. I was talking about people who commit violence against cops. And you and I both agree, if you commit violence against cops, you should go to jail.
No.
Yeah, but you're not a terrorist. Yeah, you're not. You're a guy who assaults a cop. Okay, so there's a legal difference, as you well know, better than I do, since you were actually in the running for the Supreme Court. And there's a moral difference between a guy,
Tucker, you know, the reason I use that word is for a decade I've used that word.
That's not a reason. I'm not even going to play the rest of it because it's just basically them talking over each other. Tucker's right. They're still not terror. The reason I use that word is because I always use it. Okay. Well,
yeah.
The reason I keep robbing is because it's a habit and I always do it. Is that an excuse? Yeah. I keep on killing people because I always do it. So. It's a stupid example, but you get it.
No, I totally get it, and it's true. Yeah, he was there, but he's kowtowing, and he's playing by the other people's rules and other people's arena of competition, and he's calling some things, he's defining something as something it's not. And now, even I said, if you got video evidence of people who broke windows, then okay, find them. And charge them for whatever property that they destroyed. That's great. Now, I have no problem with that. But this overblown, what they have done, what they're continuing to do, even whatever stories we do get out from those who have been imprisoned and indefinitely detained, about the mental, the breaking of spirit that is going on, not only inside the prison, but by those covering it and by the judges and the prosecutors who are working alongside of them, treating them like mental patients and getting them to do mea culpas in front of one hearing or another, talking about how they weren't in a right mental state. They have to stop watching certain types. They denounce the president. They denounce this. The way that they're trying to break their spirits, like they're wild horses, is unreal.
People see right through this stuff. They really do. They used to be able to stand up there and be politicians, Frank, because for years we had that canned politician speaking to us, right? That canned, we will build back better. We will get new jobs. Thumb pressed against the forefinger. Stand up there and yell. Nobody buys it anymore. People want you to talk to them straight. They don't want this nonsense. What's her name from I always forget her name and it bothers me. The woman who was beaten in the tunnel.
I forget her name too. I only know about it because of like Julie Kelly and.
Yeah. Rosemary, I want to say, oh gosh, hold on. I'm pausing it. I got to find it. Okay. So it's Victoria White that we're talking about here. Not the other one. That was killed. So Victoria White was beaten in the tunnel by police officers. She was beaten over 40 times. She's right now being charged with, you know, crimes, but it actually turned out that she was one of the people trying to stop people from doing things wrong in that tunnel. She has filed suit against the Capitol Police for brutality. So now she's suing them for beating the living daylights out of her, which they did. She almost died.
Well, I saw this is the one we have the video of her getting like hit 40 times by the commanding officer.
Yes, this is the one that Julie was talking about before the video was released, saying if this was released, it would change everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So she just filed suit against them for how they. She's lucky she's alive.
Yeah, from what I saw. Absolutely.
She's hit 35 times over the course of 4 minutes and 30 seconds while she appears to be begging for mercy. She's hit with the baton while facing away. She's hit while facing forward. She is speared and poked with the baton in the face so as to inflict maximum pain. She collapses more than once and is stood up by the officers only to be maced and beaten again. At some point, a white shirt, which is how they're explaining him, puts away his baton, not because he's showing mercy, but because he has a clear avenue to her face. As such, he unloads on the defenseless woman, punching her 5 times in 5 seconds directly in the face with all of his might. This is an evil man that should be stripped of his position of power and sent to prison. Instead, the people who came to her aid and others like her are languishing in prison pre-trial detention.
Just incredible. The people who get bail in this country.
Yeah, I know.
You just consider the people who get bail in this country. It's just incredible to hear this.
I'm with you. Totally. Yeah. And I think maybe we shall hop back into the Supreme Court and see who's putting a screwdriver up our hineys again.
Back with this rule does is it says we're not going to regulate some people who work outdoors. Forget about it. People who work alone, we don't have to worry about them. But people who work in the way that lots and lots and lots of people work, which is surrounded by other people in indoor spaces, you know, without their own offices, you know, with cubicles or with in other mass settings, you know, that's where the greatest risk is. Not just that's where the risk of ordinary life is. That is, in fact, where the greatest risk is.
And if they had taken that approach, they would have a much better argument, but they don't, because there are many jobs here, including, for example, landscapers, who may spend a little bit of time inside, 5 minutes a day to get the keys or punch their time card.
Is this right? What this says, my law clerks have been busy beavers on this case, I promise you. And they have on this issue is that there are exceptions here. There aren't exceptions business by business, but there are exceptions. Those who work from home alone.
That's not true. These people are woefully misinformed. And these attorneys, from what I've gathered briefly, don't seem to be doing the best job. And listen, I'm going to be honest, and I've said this before. Just because a judge, this happened in the on bank panel for General Flynn, and I tried to explain it too. Just because a judge asks questions and makes statements that make it appear as though they support one side or another doesn't necessarily mean they do. Like, they may take the proponent side of an argument and like argue it or ask questions in support of it to get you to cut it down, not necessarily because that's what they believe. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get you.
So I try not to take the justices, and typically you don't know their politics, but in this case we do, so it's a little bit different. This is why I'm not an attorney. I would be saying, with all due respect, you're very uninformed.
Yeah, I know. And just ruining everything.
Yeah, I'd be like, flamethrower, bring it in.
It's incredible.
I would. I would be like, what are you doing? They'd be taking me out of there in a freaking handcuffs.
You've ruined everything, Tracy.
But I did it with gusto.
I know. I know. Well, you had the best of intentions, of course.
Of course. Always. Just like Ted Cruz, Frank.
Just keep me far, far away.
Just like Ted Cruz. From any of this.
Seriously. It's like you definitely can't trust me.
The thing that sucks is like the obvious counters to these things are not being said.
I wish. It's just so different. The logic is so different.
Yeah.
Ah. Anywho.
Oh, Lord. I'm going to put it on again because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Okay, go ahead.
Tomorrow? Monday? And why?
Thank you for the question. We are seeking an immediate stay. As an initial matter, I think Alabama Realtors takes their arguments about the beneficial effects of their illegal action off the table. If the court considers it illegal, then it's not in the public interest and it's proper to enjoin it. Now, the court may say, or stay it rather, the court may decide that there's a better way to unwind the illegal action than a judicial action. And I think that's what Justice Kavanaugh's concurrence in the first Alabama Realtors got to. But what it can't do is say, we judge that these are very, in our view, this illegal action will lead to good effects. And so we will allow that to happen. To Justice Kagan's question about who decides point, Congress told us who decides. The 2112, 28 U.S.C. 2112 says that courts can issue stays. And the reason for that is they recognize that this was without notice and comment. And unless the courts could step in to abate illegal actions, nobody would be able to do so. And that's especially important here, where the action they're, in our view, mandating, but at least strongly encouraging, vaccination cannot be undone. Finally, the other point in the public interest is that one awkwardness of this situation is that the ETS is focused on what was really a different pandemic. It's all about the Delta variant. Now we are on to Omicron. And as my presence here as a triple vaccinated individual by phone suggests, and as Justice Sotomayor suggested, and as the Amicus Brief from the American Commitment Foundation shows, vaccines do not appear to be very effective in stopping the spread of transmission. They are very effective in stopping severe consequences, and that's why our states strongly urge people to get them. But I think that makes it very hard to look at the numbers they give and assume that they still apply today.
Counsel, those numbers show that Omicron is as deadly.
No.
No.
Oh, wow. No.
Much serious yeah, wow. disease in no, the unvaccinated
no,
as Delta did.
No. No. No.
I think it's killed. How many people was it killed?
Zero. Maybe one person with coexisting.
I heard one person. I've heard there's less than a handful of people that I have heard.
Hold on.
That's look at incredible. The hospitalization rates that are going on.
What is
we have more affected people in the these country today than we had a year ago in January.
But you're not allowed. They're not
these aren't judges.
No.
That right there, it might as well be Alison Camerota on the Supreme Court.
Seriously, the Supreme Court, the government doesn't get to decide what we do with our health. Maybe we want to take the risk. It's not for you to decide. It's not like, okay, let's say, oh, there are people getting very sick from this. We must force them to medicate themselves with something. No, it's clear they're not stopping transmission. Like the attorney just said, he's sick with it right now, which is why he's on the phone. He is triple vaccinated and sick with Omicron right now as we speak. And he's saying they don't work to prevent transmission. And she's saying, well, they're a therapeutic you must take. Are you kidding me? Wow. Oh, Lord. I shudder.
I know.
I don't even
say something that should be self-evident to the world, but is not, which is if you're sick, you can't come into work. The workplace can't let you into the workplace and you shouldn't go on unmasked. Wow. Tell me what's irrational about rules of that nature when it is the workplace that puts you into contact with people that will put you at risk.
I don't know that we've argued that the requirement is irrational, and indeed there may be many states subject to their own state laws that could impose it themselves or private businesses. So if
it's within the police power to protect the health and welfare of workers, you seem to be saying the states can do it, but you're saying the federal government can't,
right,
even though it's facing the same crisis in interstate commerce that states are facing within their incredible. Own borders.
It's incredible.
I'll just tell you, I have somebody pretty apolitical texting me right now beside themselves about this.
It's incredible what I'm hearing.
They're idiots. Are they brainwashed on purpose? Are these people brainwashed on purpose? Or are they just knowing what they're doing? What is it, do you think?
Oh, they know. They're leftist political agitprop. They're just agents that are working for a very specific theological end, pretty much. And that's it. They just managed to get a really great promotion. They have a really great job. It brings an air of omniscience to it. It has all the trappings of something that is well educated and unbiased and just a really trustworthy, protecting matriarchal/patriarchal authority. But this is Alison Camerota on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, they're not even based in fact. They're not even based in fact. Like, how do you argue something when facts don't matter anymore?
Yeah, like, you can't argue anything. What court do you take it to next? When the Supreme Court, you have people sitting on the Supreme Court that have the nerve to say that Omicron is as deadly as Delta.
As Delta. Oh, and the worst part is my law clerks have been very busy on this. You're the justice. Who knows who your law clerks are? We didn't. Oh, Lord. Okay. Hold on.
The agency is internal consistency. And if you look at their own data, the CDC data from the last week of October, unvaccinated individuals 18 to 29 were as likely to die as vaccinated 50 to 64-year-olds and five times less likely to die than vaccinated 65 and up. Hospitalization was between 18 and 49. That's not even just the young. Was about as likely as vaccinated 65 and up. If you look at the Griffin study that they cite as 61,418 of the federal register, unvaccinated and vaccinated both had low risks of death in ICU. As a societal matter, we are not debating that COVID is serious, and it is an incredibly grave risk for some people, not for everybody. And finally, I'd point you to the SCOBY study. Again, they cite that 61,418 of the federal register. So that vaccinated individuals who are 65 or older are twice as likely to die as unvaccinated individuals 18 to 49.
The age groups he's comparing, he's using the wrong data.
And I, you know, as you said before, there are certain reasons why that justices have to ask questions to set the stage for something else and create contrast for more
information.
More information that is to come. But it's also sad to hear people who are bringing a case before the Supreme Court that they know that they're dealing with political actors. So they have to genuflect constantly before, oh, we know that this is very serious.
Well, he did say not for everybody.
Yes, I know. But it's just the genuflections that have to go on as to not trigger the judges.
I know.
Is insane.
You know,
because you know that's what's going on here. You don't want to trigger them.
The next case at 11 o'clock is the healthcare worker mandate. And that one, if this one is going as this is just for everybody, that one for the healthcare workers, I hope to goodness they start bringing in how all of the healthcare workers are going back to work sick to treat the patients they're supposed to be protecting against. They're all going back still sick. You know that, right? Yeah. Their hospitals are telling them, even if you're still symptomatic, if you don't have a fever and your symptoms are abating, come back into work. Yeah, okay. This is really based in science and fact. You know, she just said, stay home if you're sick. Well, yeah, that should just be it.
That's just what it's always been. I mean, it worked out fine.
We didn't have any problem. If somebody had a flu, they didn't come into work. If someone had a fever, they didn't come into work. That's why there's something called sick time. You take it when you can't come to work because you're sick.
The equipment to put out the fire.
People throw matches. They smoke sometimes. Oh, they shouldn't, but they do. or they throw a match. Or they, you know, a lot of causes. Such as crushing people not crushing them. They come in the same room. I mean, you understand the point. Okay, the difference is, say it again so I catch it.
Sure, I want to be very clear about this. We accept the line that's been drawn forever in forging industry that simply the fact that a risk exists outside the workplace doesn't mean you can't address it when it's inside the workplace. What we dispute is the idea that a risk that is ever present in all places can be regulated simply because it's also in the workplace. And so you can regulate, to be clear, and OSHA could regulate COVID-19 in the workplace when the employer does something like packing individuals very closely together in a poorly ventilated area that enhances or changes the nature of the risk, I should say. But that's not the risk they say they're regulating. Again, 61,411 of the Federal Register, they say the risk is you'll come into contact with individuals, and the risk of encountering an individual is an ever-present risk we face at home, at work, and everywhere else.
I.e., I get his argument. Do you understand what he's saying? Like, if your workplace was packing you in like sardine cans in a poorly small room that's not ventilated, OSHA could say, you know, you're not allowed to do that. You need to, you know, get ventilation or whatever. But that's not what's going on here. They're saying that your risk is that you're going into contact with anybody at any time.
I know.
Which is literally life as we know it, or used to anyway.
it's turned human life, just being alive on planet Earth, a health risk. Therefore, everybody must surrender their arms to an endless parade of shots that we're just pumping out to see which ones what they do. Just want to see what they do.
They don't know. They really don't. Well, I mean, geez, My brain.
I know.
And this is why, again. Oh, Lord. All right, hold on.
Say they're regulating. Again, 61,411 of the Federal Register. They say the risk is you'll come into contact with individuals.
I reversed it by accident.
The risk of encountering an individual is an ever-present risk we face at home, at work, and everywhere else.
Justice Alito?
I want to come back to the question I asked Mr. Keller. In light of all that's been said this morning so far about public health, about the value of vaccines to the general public, because I want to make sure I understand.
Must be necessary to protect employees from the danger at issue.
Happen.
Must be necessary to protect employees from the danger at issue. So the broad societal effects are not at issue.
And protection of vaccinated employees who may face some danger of contracting the virus was not the basis for this rule. Is that correct?
Correct. And I would go further and say they cannot rely at all on the risk of vaccinated workers because they conclude, this is 61,419 of the Federal Register, that no one who's vaccinated is in grave danger.
Thank you.
Justice Sotomayor?
Counsel, unvaccinated people you showed or she can't stay back.
She's got an itch. She can't stop.
Yeah, here we go.
People who had a different or had the same death rate as vaccinated older people. But the point is that it's not the risk to the individual that's at question.
Ooh.
It's that risk plus the risk to others.
Oh.
And unvaccinated people, and the agency has shown in its studies that unvaccinated people affect other unvaccinated people. And they vary in age and can be of ages and of conditions.
So what are you trying to say? So
then let people sign waivers. If that is an absolute necessity, what are you talking about? She's talking about
socialism, basically. She's talking about the collective.
She's talking about slavery.
Yeah.
She's talking about whether or not farmers should be able to inject their cattle with whatever they want.
Yeah.
That's all she's talking about. She's shilling for the shots. She's shilling for the masks as if that they are be all end alls. And if they are, then those who choose to engage with them are going to be perfectly fine. Then let everybody else sign waivers and be done with it. If that is legal, because what do the waivers say? If you get sick, you don't get time off. If you get sick, you lose your health care coverage or whatever. It's ridiculous. You gave everybody an option that you are so sure is the way out of this mess.
And it isn't.
Then that should be good enough if you're that sure. But this is a woman defending a religion. You know, I mean, she's not a doctor.
No, she's not a doctor.
I don't even think you need to have been a judge to get on the Supreme Court. I don't think Elena Kagan was ever even a judge.
Do you want to just close out real quick with the end here? We'll just listen to this. It's about to.
Yeah, whatever.
Justice Kagan?
Oh.
Mr. Flowers, just continuing on that, if I understand your answers to Justice Thomas and to Justice Sotomayor, you basically said a couple of things. You said, well, we understand that 18 to 29-year-olds, even though they're not going to die or wind up with very serious injuries, that they can spread. You don't doubt that those people spread to other people who might be more vulnerable. You don't doubt that, right?
That's right, but the problem...
Okay, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I just wanted to state that as like the premise. And then the question is, well, you said, well, the agency itself says that the danger is to other unvaccinated people, older people, immunocompromised people, whatever. And you seem to be saying that because it's to other unvaccinated people, kind of, they assumed the risk and the agency's power runs out. Is that what you're saying? Because I don't know about that kind of.
You're basically trying to force people into a medical procedure over the common cold at this point. The common cold.
You wouldn't be able to even suggest that in their courtroom right now, because they, as you know, they believe that Omicron is the deadliest it has ever been, because of only one metric, that it is transmissible. That's it. No, there's never any distinction between infections and death and anything like that, because as we know, South Africa just told the world a couple of weeks ago, please stop contact tracing with this one. Please stop. It's really pointless. And it took 3.5 weeks to register a death in the UK. A couple of weeks after that, somebody said supposedly somebody in Texas died from it. We learned that he had pre-existing conditions. There's no evidence that points to this being the lethal scourge that at least a quarter of the Supreme Court believes it is, and you cannot change their minds otherwise.
I had one more clip about what's going to actually change any of this at all. And it was from England, where they're refusing. Kids are just refusing to get vaccinated or tested. I mean, to get tested for COVID or wear a mask. Hold on. I want to play it.
Sadly, we've had reports in the last 24 hours of at least 6 secondary schools in the northwest of England, where children in huge numbers are refusing to take rapid flow tests or to wear masks. We looked at one school in Lancashire where only 67 children out of 1,300 are prepared to have a level of flow test and wear masks. Now, this is a public health emergency.
Yeah, it's an emergency, you're right. It's an emergency because people are not going to listen to your shit anymore. Excuse my French. That's it for today. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
what was I today? Frankie Val on the drums.
And Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Monday.
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.